Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Hello, superstar.
Hello, mate. Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you. Of course. I am.
Yay, I've just got back.
How are you? How was it? How are you?
Yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing. So I did my first morning covering on Heart Breakfast today. And yeah, it's just one of those wonderful moments that you don't think is going to happen. But then you look back and think all of my hard work and everything that I've sacrificed, like all my weekends and my evenings and late nights and up at 1:30 and all that sort of stuff just feels worth it. It's a bit of a pinch me moment in my career. And anybody that does similar jobs or freelancers, you know, you just have to say yes to everything. And then you think, well, hang on, when will be my moment to have a little bit of, like, I don't know. It's just amazing. I'm so grateful. I really am happy at this moment.
Well, since I've known you, like, you've said that's what you wanted to do. So it's really, like, when you messaged me last night to say that's what was going on, I was really excited for you.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
And everyone, listen, tune in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on a week and maybe next week as well. So a couple of weeks to do it. And then I've got like a full on summer of like covering daytimes and bits and pieces. So it's, it's a really exciting moment. And it's Luna's graduation today, which I managed to get back for. I'm going in like an hour. So it's a good day in the Joran Jones Hardman household. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Tell us your news.
So this is day one of the school holidays.
Yes.
And this is so typical. So I had thought and planned for James to take care of the childcare throughout the school holidays. Yeah. Gigi's at nursery and her nursery continues throughout the summer. Fine. Axel would be with James. Like, we've planned camps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then at 9:30 last night, James decides...
Oh God, what?
He's no longer available to take care of the childcare throughout the school holidays.
Oh my God.
And this, do you know what? This is actually almost perfect timing for the chat that we had with our guest, because it is this stuff that we had a good old moan about, that although we are so lucky to have, you know, partners that we parent with who are up for, you know, all of it, the school runs, the, you know, everything. Mm. It's these things that just seem to fall on the women, even though I'm the one who, you know, I pre-planned, you know, school holidays, is everything going to be okay?
Yeah,
do I need to arrange anything?
Yeah.
I've arranged a few little bits and pieces, obviously, so he's not bored throughout the holidays. But no, you don't need to worry about it. I can take care of it all. And then 9:30, the night before the school holidays starts. Sorry. And then, like, literally, like, no, but I've sorted this. You know, like, that would be okay. Don't worry, Georgia, but I've sorted this. No, none of that. Just like, yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, and then up and out the door this morning. And you know what? It's really interesting because this is what we, as you said, this is what we're discussing today, is there's fundamentally an imbalance with certain aspects of parenting, certain things. And it's really weird because I don't know about you, but I didn't sign a contract that said that I was responsible for all of that.
No.
I didn't sign that contract.
No, I didn't.
Did you?
And it's no. I mean, no. If anyone has, more for you. But we didn't sign that contract. And it's just really weird, like, where we're trying to get to this place where we're all equal, but there's actually so many things that come up that you realise, God, there's like so much more to be done.
Yeah, definitely.
And what can you do? Like, what did I do? Just turn around and be like, oh, no, sorry, you need to sort it out. Well, no, of course I didn't, because I just, you know, I just go, oh, okay, cool, no worries. I'll sort, you know, I'll take it on, I'll sort it out. Because it's sort of the way we've been conditioned to be.
We've been talking to Bubble quite a lot. I've like, loads of people have messaged us about that. So if you don't know, but Bubble's like a babysitting app, and it's kind of like ordering a handyman or, you know, somebody to come and do X, Y, and Z in the house. But these are all like trusted babysitters. So you can download the app and then you can put almost posting a job advert on there.
Yeah.
And then people can apply for the job. So I've actually got two interviews with two separate people this week because we're looking for a Monday, Tuesday sort of summer cover before they, you know, Luna starts reception and Kit's back at preschool full time. But I had a really, really good kind of response, and I feel like I'm going to have a positive outcome from it. So I'll let you know. But obviously it is huge. And, you know, finding somebody to look after your kids is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And then when you get a spanner in the works, like you're having to deal with, it's a lot. But we're super women and we will get there, George. And if not, we'll just get drunk.
And if not, we'll just run and hide and you'll find us crying in the bathroom. You know. Who knows?
Drunk. Drunk.
It could go either way.
But I think we should get into the chat today because it was a lovely one. I think both of us came away feeling like we've met a bit of a kindred spirit.
Definitely.
She's a real kind of force to be reckoned with, and she's got some really brilliant ideas on how life should be. Actually, now we've kind of swapped numbers. I feel like, she's going to be part of our lives, which is great news. A broadcaster, a speaker, a writer, an all-round legend. Who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to the incredible Atte Jewell.
Okay, joining us on the podcast today, beauty journalist, all-round legend. We've already spoken to her for about 30 minutes. We'll tell you about what's just happened in a second. Broadcaster, diversity advocate, mum to twin girls. Today, joining us is Atte Jewell. Hello.
Yay!
Atte like pate. That's what you just said to me.
Atte like pate. How are you? I'm so excited.
I feel like we've got to start this podcast with a bit of background because it's just real. We have all said in the last 12 hours, we have all been in exactly the same position. Basically losing our shit.
Mama meltdown. I call it MM, Mama meltdown.
Tell us what happened, Atte. Tell us what happened last night.
Oh my God. It's just like, I was just losing my shit. I can swear. My girls were kicking off. Then there was a leak. Water came out of a light plug. It was just the straw that broke the camel's back, and I was like, it's enough. And then on top of that, got to do laundry cleaning. Like, I didn't sign up for this. I just did not sign up for all this drama, all this like drudgery, all this domestic nonsense. Like, I love my life, I love my girls, but it's a lot. Do you know what I mean? When you're 19 on a podium in a club, this is not what I was thinking at 43.
Oh my God, you're my sister. You're literally my spirit sister. That's what I was doing when I was 19 as well. And I do think back fondly to those days where it was just literally like, all you had to do was make sure you had your like fluffy boots on.
And fluffy boots, glitter on the boobs. I used to put glitter gel on the boobs and let's go.
Take us back.
Now we're dealing with leaks and laundry and all the rest of it.
And making snacks, lots and lots of snack making. Like, what the hell is that?
Do you know what I think it is? I feel like, and I don't know if you guys feel like this, but I feel like I look at my life and I see like a pie chart. That's who I feel like I am. Yeah. And then there's all these like triangles coming off it about what I'm supposed to do throughout the day. And the summer holidays, Georgia and I have been talking about this a lot, actually fill us with dread because yes, there are some lovely moments in there, but fundamentally for working parents and parents that don't work, no one wants to spend that amount of time with their children day in, day out. And also if you're trying to juggle a job, a career, house, laundry, cleaning, and it's like, it just got way too much for me this morning. As you can tell from the eyes, I've been crying for the last half an hour going, and the kids are coming in, they're on their iPads next door, and I'm like, I don't know how to manage this.
It's too much. Do you know what I mean? It's too much.
You know what? We talk about this and how, you know, part of it is our fault. But Atte, you said it's the system. Why do we as mums take on all the extra stuff, right? I'm just going to show you, right? I've got my work notebook. Here's my to-do list. I've got my mama's notebook. Here's my to-do list. And then today I started my at-home notebook. So I've got teachers' gifts, presents, book swimming, look at school clubs, book Axel's party. And this is the list. that I'm the only one who seems to be able to do. Even though there's two parents in this house, we're both equally responsible. I have two jobs. He has zero jobs right now. But I'm the one who gets through all this as well.
It's the patriarchal system that we have been brought up with for thousands and thousands of years. I remember, I mean, Daniel, bless him, he is amazing. And he's a really, like, he is in the trenches with me. When we were like, you know, double breastfeeding, he is amazing dad. But I remember thinking, just because they came out of me doesn't mean I know what the hell is going on. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think because people look to you to be the more, you know, not the more savvy, you know, but people never ask Daniel, oh, how was your lockdown? How was homeschooling? Even though he took the lead on that. They asked me that. Why don't they ask, you know, and Dan, I remember him saying, he used to always take the girls when we lived in London. He'd take them for coffee and tea in Notting Hill. It was so cute. And they would go and have like cake with him. And he said people would look at him like he was a unicorn. Like, they'd be like, you're amazing. Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh,
you're
daddy, take care.
Oh, daddy. And Dan was like, it's such bullshit. He goes, I see the hypocrisy. You go out every day with your girls having a tea and cake. No one thinks you're a unicorn. You're just a mum. And they're probably judging you.
No one thinks you're a unicorn.
No. And he was like, it was like being a rock star. Just because you're with your girl, just because you're with your kids. That's just normal, right? So there is hypocrisy.
We talk about this all the time, and we talk about how we can change it and make a difference. So, you know, for instance, I looked at the school group WhatsApp and the class WhatsApp, there's one dad in there. One.
Yes.
One.
Why?
So I need to add my husband in there for next year, basically. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I don't know, small changes, but...
You know what? It's so true that the WhatsApp thing is really true. I remember like when the girls were really, really, really little at nursery, Daniel, because he's a director, he's freelance. He like, you know, he owns his time, and he would do a lot of the drop offs and pick up, and people looked at him like, why are you here? Like, why are you out working? Why are you, like, he was working.
Get
but
back
like,
to the office.
Basically. And he said he felt really judged. And it's so, and he, some, you know, we're judged as women, but also him being really present and a primary caregiver in that way, there were a lot of stereotypes the other way. Like, why aren't you like thumping your chest in the wild hunting like a buffalo or something? And it's like, and all of us, and that was my other mums, you know, so all of us are part of it, and we need to start getting with the program resetting what is like the norm, because it's still 1950s housewives for a lot of people.
It is.
We're judged as, you know, we're 21st century women and mums, but we are still judged by kind of like mad men standards.
Absolutely. And I don't know about you, but I will take responsibility for some of it, because, you know, when I'm looking at my list and looking at teachers' gifts and presents, if my husband tried to go out and buy teachers' gifts and presents, I'd be like, okay, cool, talk me through the card. What shop are you in, first off? How much is the card? Because if it's that cheap, it's not going to be good enough. What's going on?
I'm the same. I like M for micromanage. Yeah, like... It's like, you're doing it wrong. Let me just do it.
Don't worry, I'll do it.
I'll do it. But that's a gift with twins. I couldn't afford to be like that. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't afford to be like, oh, you're doing the nappy wrong. I'm just like, thank you for not leaving me. Thank you for being here. Thank you for not abandoning me. I remember he went to get milk and I cried because I was like, why did you leave me for 5 minutes? Like, why did you do that? He's like, I was getting milk around the corner. It was so much. So I think the twin experience helps you to chill. You are forced to chill a little bit with that, but I am a bit micromanagey. And it's true. You have to just let people be equal partners in the parenting. And sort of like, I always think, what would a man do? Men just take things. Have you noticed that? They just, I'm going out. I'm doing this.
Don't.
Men take their power. And I think that's a lesson as women we're not taught to do. We're taught to be pleasing and polite and joyful and fuckable and all these other things. But we're not taught to just take what we want.
Do you think it's to do with that? Or do you think, because I asked my husband the other day, I said, do you feel guilty? And he said, guilty what for? I said, do you ever feel guilt? Like, do you ever feel guilt about anything? And he was like, absolutely not. I don't feel any guilt. And I'm like, I am riddled with guilt. And I can't understand whether that is to do with, like you said, whether it's a breakdown in society, whether it's the way we've been raised, whether it's like our conditioning just generally, or whether it's just men feel stuff and women don't feel that, and women feel stuff and men don't feel it. Is it to do with the sexes, or is it to do with the way we've been brought up slash our environment?
I think half, half. Because like, I've been with Daniel since we're 19. So he's like my best friend as well as my husband. So I'm like, be real with me. Do you know what I mean? Like, just like, tell me how it is. Like, I won't be offended. Just, I really want to know. And he says men just really compartmentalize. That's why they can shag around. Not to say women can shag around, but like, that's why men can do things. Women will like, oh, never. No, because they can put it in a little box. So it's like, I'm in my work box. I'm in my dad box. I'm in my this box. And women, I read this quote that women, the way we, a lot of, I'm not, this is huge stereotyping, but like majority women feel that they think in a cake batter where everything's mixed up in a bowl and whizzed together.
I was going to say, I have one box and everything is getting lobbed in and someone's sitting on the top trying to keep it all down. That's so what like, my box is.
Cake batter. So if it's like everything's in a big bowl, you mix it all around and you feel shit because it's just sludge, right? And men put things in neat little bento boxes like sushi. And that's why everything's yummy. Really, that's
that is the great
amazing. I love that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Please talk to us about being a mum to twin girls. Yes.
Tell us that moment as well that you went in to have your scan, and me and Georgia have been there, and they've gone, and I've gone, just one heartbeat, yeah? And they've gone, just one heartbeat. And I've gone, just one heartbeat, just one heartbeat. And they went to you, there's two heartbeats.
Well, I had a cosmic heads up because I went to a psychic 5 years before who said I was having twin girls.
No.
Yes, Jane Wallace, who is amazing, psychic sisters. I've seen this woman a few times, every single
psychic
time.
Psychic sisters, right, okay.
Write that Jane down, put it on Wallace. Your to-do list, George.
She is incredible. Going on. Every time I've seen this woman who is lovely and warm, and it's like therapy slash cosmic heads up. So she told me, I didn't believe it. I was 28 when she told me. And then the scan was like, ooh, the two heartbeats. I was like, a lot of F-bombs. They thought it was triplets. They were like, I think we can see a third heartbeat. And it was like, I remember saying, Daniel, we both don't drive and we live in a one bed flat on the top floor. Like, what are we going to do? And they were like, no, just two heartbeats. And so it was really shocking, but also kind of a blessing because it was just like a 2-for-1, add water, instant family. Do you know what I mean?
And
I was
one and done, done.
One and done. And I was 33 and it was like, it was a blessing, but also how are we going to do this? Like logistically, emotionally, spiritually. And I'm so lucky that I had such an amazing partner in crime and with Daniel, because it was like, I don't want to be offensive, but it was like being in a war situation. It was like, you know, you don't sleep deprivation. Like it's just your work. It was just, I don't know how else to describe it, but it was like being in a battle with somebody.
Yeah.
How did you prepare for it, Ate? How did you prepare for that moment when the twins were going to arrive? Like, what did you read any books? Were you listening to podcasts? Were you chatting to friends who had twins?
So, I mean, I was very lucky because one of my best friends had twins a few years before.
And that's good.
And I just remember laughing, going, ha, 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 and then I got pregnant. I remember just laughing, going, oh my God, that's a lot. So I'd seen it. I was really lucky that someone I was very close to, and she just was, you know, just my she was my girl. She's like, you need this, you need that, you need this, you need that. Like double breastfeeding, blah, 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 blah. So I had a really good mummy mentor in my really good friend. It can be so scary and confusing. Like, you know, should you have a stick routine? Should you have no routine? So I think you have to really trust yourself. Read yeah. everything you need to read and then let your, just trust your gut and trust yourself. And also just don't listen to other people's opinions, because everyone will have in your life will have an opinion, right?
Like, of course. Well,
when I did this 40 years ago, well, da, 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 and you have to be like, I was like, my turn, my go, and it's my mistakes to make. Thank you yeah. very much.
And what about now? You know, they're 10 years old, obviously yeah. two girls in the house, preteen.
Oh my God.
How is that? Are they different personalities? How do you go about raising two children who are going through the same things at the same time, but they are different people?
It is very challenging, because you have to always remind yourself they are not a unit. They are just yeah. two kids who hitched a ride at the same time. You know, and it's yeah. like they are such individuals, and they are so chalk and cheese. One is so artistic and dreamy and an artist and a fairy, and the other one's a corporate lawyer, corner wow. office. Show me the money. You know, like she's and I say to them, if you get together, you will rule the world, girls, because with that arty side and that kind of like businessy side, like, you know, one of my daughters, she goes to her bedroom, she goes, I'm gonna go relax, mummy, and then she'll be on her computer crunching numbers, and I'm like, who are you? It's amazing.
Wow. Like,
but that's not who, you know, we're a very arty family, you know. And then my other daughter is, you know, writing poetry or making like arts and crafts, and they're just very, I have to nurture who they are as well, not just, yeah. they need different things from me. They are different people. That's really challenging, because, you know, you just, it's just very natural just to lump people together. People do it in the office, in every walk of life. But as yeah. a mum, I have to be very careful of that.
Yeah, and actually, I think you have to be really careful of that regardless of whether you've got twins yeah. or not. I mean, my two girls, obviously my eldest, Isla, is my stepdaughter, but she's the one that's writing songs and we're singing yeah. together, and she loves just being, she's like ethereal and kind of really spiritual. Whereas Luna, September baby, you know, if she goes outside the lines when she's trying to practice her lessons, it's like, I've gone outside the dotted line. And then there's like a full meltdown. I'm like, it's okay. We're not putting this in anywhere. It's just for us. I'll throw
it
away.
You're going towards your degree. No. It's fine. You're all right.
I completely relate. I completely, that kind of type A Hermione, Harry Potter energy. I get it. I completely relate. But they're slipping into puberty, which is interesting as well.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. How, what sort of approach are you sort of taking to those conversations, and how have you been up to this date? You know, when we're talking about periods or, you know, relationships or feelings, emotions, what route have you gone down?
I think I'm quite Scandi in my outlook of like, the earlier the better. Don't yeah. just like, just, knowledge is power, but also I'm very kind of, I do have my English prudish side as well. like how do you balance the two? Like, but I told them about sex at 8, which I don't yeah. know if young or early, but I was forced to, in my opinion, because they told me, mummy, we were at school, we learnt what sex is. I said, what is sex? We heard it on the playground. Okay, tell me what that is. It's when a boy chases you, pins you down, and then spits on you.
Oh my God. That's only when, like, you ask for it. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I was like, yeah, I was like, no.
I mean, it sometimes.
Was shocking. I mean, yeah, sometimes.
Quite shocking. I don't know, oh my why, God. I was like, I need to unpack this, because there's a lot of yeah. predatory nonsense in here. There's a lot of, like, you know, it was just what. And also, who are the kids talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, what have they seen?
What have they seen and what have they heard? And like, it's so, they've got access to iPads and they can, like, I mean, I read some scary stat that like most under 10s have seen some kind of hardcore porn by the time they're 10.
I read that. I know. That's frightening. That's frightening.
It's really, so I was like, knowledge is power. So I sat them down. I said, I've got to tell you about the birds and the bees. And Adana, bless her, went, wait a second, mummy, let me get the book. And there's, you know that book, The Book of Bees? She thought, oh, I was talking about that. I was like, no.
Not quite.
No, not quite. And they didn't believe me. They burst out laughing. They thought it was hysterical. They're like, nah, that's not how it works. And I was like, no, it really is. They're like, that's ridiculous. And then...
in their head, the chasing and the spitting makes much more sense. Definitely makes more sense.
So it was completely embarrassing, but I've learned that when you talk about these big conversations, you're supposed to do it side to side instead of in front of them, which I didn't know. Apparently it's less intimidating because it's like, I'm talking to you about, and side to side, it's less pressure or something. I read that afterwards.
So like when you're in the car or when you're walking next to each other.
It's less pressure. Well, I did it the wrong way and I did it face to face and terrified them. But like, so I learned that afterwards. And now, you know, they're going through puberty and it's just really, and also it feels a lot younger.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. And what about periods? Because I've got a 10-year-old niece, and I say she's quite young and underdeveloped, maybe, or not underdeveloped. I mean, who knows? She just maybe amongst her peers. And she's got, you know, friends who've started their periods. And how, because I think, okay, it is scary starting your period, but I think the different times that it happens is the hardest thing to get, you know, come to terms with. If you're the first, you feel like, oh, I'm the only one. Yeah. And then if you're the last, you equally feel the same.
I didn't even know how to use a tampon. I remember being in the next door cubicle to my mate Clea, who was like this, she's so brilliant. And she grew up in Ibiza, and she was a real free spirit. And she was like all about everything. And she knew everything before anyone else. And I was in the next door, and I was like, what do I do? And she was like, put it inside. And I was like, oh God. And then I remember half of it hanging out. And I was like, half of it's hanging out. You know, like, I don't think I was ever given that information. Even though I grew up in quite a liberal house, I want to make sure that my daughters don't have half their tampon hanging out and try and walk into school. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I was told young ladies don't do that, have a sanitary towel. So that was
I think that's what I was told as well. I think that's I don't think I was given tampons. Yeah.
No. It's a new world. And I think you're so right about giving people education, empowering themselves, and not, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. It was really shameful. It's like, hide it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I tell my girls, you know what? This is the most empowering thing. This is when you start your period, it's your body is able to make a person. That's quite superhero. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yes, it's all these other things, but it's, you can make people now.
Yeah, it's like your initiation into that world.
Welcome. You can make people. I said it's such a huge responsibility and it's such a huge gift as well. So I'm trying to do the positive rather than the Victorian shame and dirty and all this like negative medieval crap that we've all been brought up with. So I'm like, this is something, I'm not gonna lie, it can be uncomfortable, it can be this, but you know, if you want to make an omelette, you gotta crack some eggs. This is life, this is your body, this is how it works. And the price of that is that one day, hopefully, fingers crossed, you'll be able to be a mum if that's what you want, or blah blah blah. So that I'm trying to spin it in a very empowering way. It's coming. And then like, I mean, you know, they ask for like little training crop tops, even though bless them, there's nothing there, but like do you get it for them because it makes them feel grown up? Do you not, like, all this noise of like, oh God, is it too much to get them a little, like, you know, not like a crop top to wear under your
absolutely. And I think that's completely your decision and your choice as their mum, and there isn't a right or wrong way. Like, let's move on to makeup. You know, we've had these chats briefly before about, is it right to let your young girls or boys play with your makeup, and like, is it encouraging them to wear it from an earlier age? How do you see makeup? Is it for fun? The language around it, like, it's an absolute minefield.
Gigi went to nursery age 2 today with makeup on. Contour, actually.
Oh, she contours well, Gigi. She really does.
She had her little play makeup brush in her hand, and I was putting my makeup on, and somehow she's obviously got underneath me, sneaked out the palette. You know the Charlotte Tilbury one with the highlighter and the contour?
She's gone into
another room, and my husband thought that I'd given it to her because it was empty. Yeah. And then she comes in and she's got all of these orange streaks all over her face. And he was like, wash it off. I was like, nope.
She's copying you and she wants to be like you. That's quite sweet, you know. No, my girls, obviously because of my job, they've always been exposed to makeup. Knock yourself out, ladies. It's playtime. Have fun. I mean, they were really not. Adana, my little business lady, she was like, "Mummy, really? Again, every day with the makeup? What?" I was like, and then she's now she's 10, she's like, oh, I get it, it's fun, it's you know. And Ola said, "Mummy, leave mummy alone. She finger paints for a living." And I just thought, my God, is that the best description, that I play with colour and finger paint on my face for a living as a beauty journalist? And I'm like, that's exactly what I do. I finger paint for a living. That is my job.
I love
and then
that.
It's so sweet, isn't it? How you see the world as kids. So, I mean, they are the biggest adventure and joy of my life. It is the hardest thing I've ever done, ever. Like, and in a funny way, it takes the pressure off because it's like, nothing's going to be harder than this. You know what I mean? Nothing's going to be like, I've done the hardest thing. So everything else is just sprinkles. So it's really positive. But also I have this huge, I'm a child of divorce. I had a very traumatic, weird childhood with a really scary dad and emotionally horrible dad, and I have this huge thing of like, I just don't want to fuck up my kids, and like my you know, I really like, I just don't want to mess them up. And like my Daniel's, he's so funny, he's like, Ate, even if you tried, girl, even if you tried, it wouldn't be worse than what you had, so chill. So like, so I do have it, it's a pressure in a way that I've never had before, but also you're gonna make mistakes, so that's part of their experience, your experience. I'm like, you know what, I'll give you money at the end for therapy. Do you know what I mean? I've got a little fund.
we have to realize as parents that we are not our parents, and yes. I think that's the biggest lesson that we can take and we can go through, because we take the good bits from them, but we leave the stuff that they tried to do, that they didn't succeed at, or they messed up, or whatever, however you want to phrase it. Because I battle with that with various aspects of my own childhood, that actually it was amazing, but there were some really deep rooted things that really did fuck me up for a while during my teenage years and into my 20s. But my husband always says to me, you are not that person. You are not her. You will not do the same thing. And it's like, we have to learn that. We have to take that. Otherwise, we're going to parent with fear forever. Yes. And that's where I feel like I'm at the moment.
Yeah, yes. And you can't think too much into everything, can you? Because, you know, we have these conversations about makeup and, you know, the way we kind of talk to our daughters. But ultimately, if we analyse every single little thing that we're doing, we will go crazy.
Yeah. I'm in the crazy camp at the moment. Yes. I'm crazy over here. I'm not coping.
I'm the same. But like, I try and catch myself. So I don't want to do, like, I'll say, one of my girls did something. I said, "Oh, you're so good," and I just stopped myself. I'm like, "No, you're not good. You were really competent. That was very kind, and I really appreciated that because I needed your support. Thank you. So I try and do that, because then you go into that good girl camp of like, "What do you think?" Beep, 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 beep. I'm like, "You know what?" And I, you know, one of my girls wasn't having a good day. I'm like, "It's okay to be angry. It's okay to lose it. It's okay not to be shiny and sparkling all the time. You own all your feelings." So I try. I try really hard not to I'm deprogramming myself as well as trying to deprogram, you know what I mean? Not teach it, because it is really, it's just a struggle. You do struggle, because I'm, you know, I say I'm a recovering people pleaser. It's, and, you know, a perfectionist, and that's really, it's a burden. So the quicker they can, hopefully they won't have it, but if they can not be burdened with that, the better. You know, I'm in my 40s and I'm struggling to get over it and say no. And I mean, my God, boundaries and saying no. And like, I'm take stuff for yourself unapologetically. That's where I'm at. But hopefully they'll do everything a bit faster and quicker than I did. That's my hope.
No, absolutely. And like you say, even just saying things like, "Oh, good girl, good girl." I was just out with both the kids the other day on my own, just walking along the road. And I mean, I'm so bad for it, but my son is so well behaved at the moment. Aww. And my daughter is not. Yeah. And so I was obviously going, "Gigi, don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't be naughty. Please, blah, blah, blah." And this woman pulled me aside and she said, "Make sure you pay just as much attention to each of them equally, because it's so good. It's so easy to praise a good child, and it's so easy to kind of, I guess, label a naughty child." And then I suddenly thought,
oh gosh, yeah, because that's what I'm constantly doing at the moment. Oh, Axel, well done. That was really kind. That was lovely. And Gigi, please don't do that. And I don't want that to just continue, because at the end of the day, she's two and Axel went through this at two and Axel's four and, you know, been at school and had all of these rules put on him already. So of course they're going to behave in different ways.
He's been socialized from school.
Exactly.
Putting roles, the naughty, the good, onto children, I completely get it. And
pressure.
Craving. Yeah, it's so much pressure. Do you think, I'm not being funny, but do you think like dads think like this in the same way?
This is what I go back to. I don't think they feel it. Listen, guys, I've got someone at the door and I'm going to have to go. Will you come back on again, please?
Because yes, hell yes.
I love you. Yes. And thank you so much,
Eddie. Thank you.
Bye, BC.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Well, I've dried my tears now after that. You'll be pleased to hear. I mean, the beginning of that, I had to step away three or four times to just cry in the other side of the room.
I know. Do you know what? That chat was really hard for you, but what an energy and a presence to have on when you felt like that. Like, I feel like you couldn't, you know, help. The whole house could be falling down around you. But speaking to Ate, I don't know, I just felt empowered and positive.
Yeah.
And like everything's going to be okay and that I can say no.
Yeah.
I should have listened to that actually, you know, on Sunday night.
Yeah, yes.
Really.
But also to share, if you're listening to this and you've had one of those days or one of those weeks, or you're going through a period where you are feeling completely overwhelmed by life, it's okay to speak to a mate about it or speak to a random that you've just met, like Ate, and just say, like, I'm falling apart this end. And actually, I don't know, there's no shame in that. There shouldn't be any shame attached to, I need some help and can we talk it out and I'm not coping.
Yeah, do you know what as well? I think in the workplace, I mean, I've just started a new job and it can be really difficult to like say, do you know what? I've got a lot going on at home. I'm really sorry if, you know, things fall through the net this week. Mm. But you have to. Like, it's so much better just to be open and honest about what's going on. We're all humans rather than just trying to paper over the cracks and just try and act like everything's okay. And that's what she said, didn't she? She said, like, you almost have to address what's going on rather than just try and push it out of the way and ignore it.
Yeah, totally. Because then it can become, you know, so overbearing that you can't find a way forward. I find, like, if I start talking about it at the beginning when I feel myself getting a bit anxious and getting a bit swamped, then it works out better for me. If I leave it to the end, then, you know, I become like a crying mess and can't do anything.
Yeah. God.
We're all right, George. We've got our shit together.
We are fine.
We're fine.
Absolutely. But no, really enjoyed that chat.
I hope
you did too.
As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast. And please, please, please keep sending in your photographs, because we love seeing them, don't we, of where you're listening.
We do. Any like photos on the beach, like drinking a cocktail, though, please don't tag us. We're just so jealous. No, in all seriousness, do. It's actually really lovely to see where you're all listening. And any suggestions for people for a Q&A, topics you'd like us to cover, guests for this Tuesday slot, then please do drop us a message. We're on at Made by Mummers or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hartman. And we'll be back on Friday.
See you then. Made by Mummers is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Imogen Hart.
Insanity Group.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.